Hi, welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 45. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. In verse 10, where he says, "Hearken, O daughter," I want you to look at that word for a moment. When he calls her the virgin daughter of Jerusalem, many times he's saying, you've not seen what you're about to see because I'm bringing the Babylonians or I'm bringing the Assyrians. You think you got this thing by the tail. And what I'm saying to you is that you who know the Lord, you know, if you've read enough of your Bible, you know this world's not safe. You know that there are people that would come into this country and destroy it. You've looked down the road. And you perceived, and as a daughter of the king, you know what's going on behind the curtain. You know that there are forces arrayed in our world that are governed by the prince of the power of the air, that would take your children and your grandchildren one day and destroy them. You know that. What does that do to you as a daughter of the king? Well, what it does is it leads you into His presence. Dear God, spare my boys. Are you not afraid for your sons? Are you not terrified for what they can do? One bad decision and their world is wrecked for decades. Daughters of the king, he says, hearken. And that word hearken literally means to obey. He says, hearken, O daughter, and consider. And that word means to perceive. This is good. Obedience and perception will lead you where He wants you to get so that you can find the amplification of every power God has endowed you with. And thirdly, he says in verse 10, he says, and incline your ear. Literally, it means to stretch yourself out, as in the case of bending a bow. You stretch that thing out, put that string on the bow, but it means to stretch out. Really try to get your mind around this, is what he's saying. He says, what you as daughters have is you've been given grace poured in your lips. You've been given a fairness that supersedes that of men. And when you look at your world, you look at it and the world looks back at you. When you smile, when you serve, all of those things are huge to not only your sisters, but also to your brothers. You are powerful. And if you will hearken, consider, and incline your ear, you will begin to get a real sense of what God had in mind. Do you know in the original creation, God made them male and female, right? And everything was symbiotic and good. But then after the fall, what happened? Well, men began to fall at the feet of women. It happens throughout the scriptures. David himself, our champion, falling. The Moabite women going in and the men falling. We see it. We hear it. We know it. But perceiving it, we recognize that we are living in a generation so far down the line that there has to be someone to answer that. You know, it's hard for men to answer that. Other women have to answer that. You can remember maybe vignettes and things like Jane Austen or whatever, where other women will reprimand other women. You know, they're saying, oh, you need to knock that off, or oh, she's ruined, or whatever, and there was a propriety. That propriety has taken a hike. It's gone. There is no propriety hardly to be found anymore. But where it is to be found is in the bosom of those women who love the Lord Jesus. Because they know that there's a lot at stake because they're daughters of the king and they perceive things. And so what that does to them is it gives them a clarity. Verse 10 says, forget your own people and your father's house. Why does he have to say that? Well, he has to say it because women naturally bond. They care. They love. It's always been said that if a dad is absent in a woman's life, it can send her in all kinds of directions that might not be helpful for her. So that dads must be willing to hug their daughters more. Not be uncomfortable with that. Hug them and love them and dote on them and let them know that they are valuable and priceless and important and altogether cherished in their eyes. Now that kind of lavishing of love is supposed to prime the pump so they look for a guy who will understand their value. But what happens is sometimes we like to go back. It's like the little girl who came home and told her dad all about her day and how she had done good in her class. The teacher gave her an extra star and she got an A on her paper. She did really well. And her dad just reached over and he kissed her on the head and he says, "My, what a wonderful little girl you are. You make me so proud." And when he was done speaking, because men are a few words, she's just still looking at him, waiting for more. She said, can you say that again? Can you just say that one more time? Because women tend to bond and they respond to that kind of nurturing. And so they have to forget the past. They can't go for the past. They can't say, where am I getting my strokes? I can't look at daddy anymore. And sadly, some women never had a dad like that, and they had to navigate without it. And if you're still standing, and you can look in the rearview and say, my dad was never like that, bless your heart. He's a father to the fatherless, God is, and He can heal every wound. Find your strokes in Him, because He says, I find no spot in thee. Isn't that good to know? That's in the book of Song of Solomon. I see no spot in thee. But what does this do? He says he needs you to forget. He says, obey. Hearken. You need to forget thine own people and thy father's house also. In other words, it's time to grow up and look at life for what it really is. And he says, so shall the king. In other words, thereby, if you will. So shall the king greatly desire your beauty. Now that's talking about King Jesus. He just talked about him. In a few verses above, in verses 6 through 9, in that parenthetical messianic section where it's talking about the king and the King Jesus and the kingdom he's going to get and the blessings the Father is going to lay on the Son. He says, so, or in this way, if you'll forget all of those things in the past, if you'll forget that, this is the way that the Lord God will desire your beauty in the kingdom. It's an amazing thing. To realize that the king will desire you. It doesn't talk to me here. This is not to me. This is to the girls. And it's special. And it's specific. And it's amazing. God wants the beauty to be circulated in His kingdom. Do you know, in the priesthood, a priest couldn't serve past 55 years of age. God didn't want any decrepitude in His pictures that He was painting through the service of the tabernacle and of the temple. So he said, here's the parameters. These guys weren't useless. It's just they weren't used in the service of the temple. They had other things they could do. And their wisdom was perpetuated and they were honored. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying in that picture. But you, as women, you have been given an endowment. A grace that is desired in the king's throne room. And as you let go of the old, he says, so shall the king greatly desire your beauty, for he is thy Lord. See how cool this is? This is the king, he is your Lord. He's yours. Do you know the first person Jesus appeared to after his resurrection was Mary Magdalene? A woman. But not just a woman, a woman who had been delivered from 7 demons. And I just want you to know that God values you. And though He doesn't say much to you in the ways of like the whole book of Proverbs is son, son, son. And then you look at the way He picks and chooses. There is a powerful behind the scenes reality that must be there. It's sort of like this body of mine. You take the bones out, it's not going to be any prettier than it is now. It's you got to have the bow. You're the ones who give the strength to the society. You're the ones that give the backbone to the men. You are the ones who can build up or you can tear down. You have power. Men will charge hell for the love of a woman. He will give everything he has, it says at the end of Song of Solomon. Everything he has, he will give for the love of a woman, and it will be utterly condemned. He doesn't care. Let the house burn. You, give me your hand. I live and I will die for you. There are two great themes in music. There are other themes, but there are two great themes. One is the worship of God, and the other is the love that is had between a man and a woman. These are great themes. They're both rooted in love. And what he's saying here is the king will greatly desire your... He's your Lord. Look what he says. And worship thou him. Forget the old. Forget the world that you lived in. Forget the strokes of your father. And worship the Lord. And I just want to say to you today, thank you, Mom, for worshiping Jesus. For worshiping him. Because this world solicits you to every other alternative. And it would be real easy to go there. And sadly, many do. When you look at this, I want you to recognize a song. Maybe you've heard it before. Because, see, the thing that drives a woman to worship him is that she has considered, she's perceived what's going on. She knows she's a daughter of the king. She knows there's a bigger narrative. And it drives her to the Lord because he's the one wherein she will find her help. There's a song that has been sung for a number of years now. It's called Midnight Oil. It says, Mama liked to burn the midnight oil down on her knees in prayer. If you asked her why she did it, she said she did it because she cared. Now Mama always talked to Jesus when she knelt by her rocking chair. Oh, I'm glad my mama was willing to burn the midnight oil in prayer. She liked it, it says. She wanted to get back to that place. That place of quiet. There is a place, right? A quiet rest near to the heart of God. And she knew with all of those tendrils reaching out to every child and grandchild and brother, sister, mother and father. I mean, she knew she needed the Lord. And she'd just get down to the Lord. God, I love them. Protect them. Remove evil from their path. Make them to understand your way. And just interceding. And you know what's really cool about this, ladies? Is that the passage in 45 of Psalms says, he greatly desires you before him. When you pray, he listens. We men, we're kind of wooden. Our prayers are sometimes more cognitive than emotional. But yours come with emotions and tears. Ours do too sometimes, but yours come in a way that ours cannot. God has tooled you. That if you will access every concern of your heart, and you cast every care upon him, you, from this passage, will find he cares for you. Thanks for your worship. It helps us be better men. Now, when he says that he will desire your beauty, the word desire has the idea of him desiring you as a useful, productive, and rare resource. In other words, not a lot of ladies do that. They don't do it because either they weren't taught to love Jesus, don't know. But, you know, when they get that knowledge and they access it and they appropriate it, God can use that. There's a reason God gave beauty. And it was so that when you looked at the little child you held in your bosom after birth, whoa, that child would look up and see nothing but kindness, love, acceptance, and there's even a hormonal reaction that makes you bond. And I want you to know that that's the first glimpse that a child is given of who God is. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.